to see all of you who are able to make it. Let's just go over our calendar real quick. Now that we're back on track with our solo one and every so often, if you will, every other week, next Thursday is our break. Amen. So take some rest with your family. And then we'll get back out there on the following Thursday. As far as the end of the August, that's pretty much it. However, we are preparing for September. Once again, I do want to remind our church in love, please try your best to get the last week of September, if the Lord wills, available. Work schedule family time so that way we can show as much love as we can for a dear friend of mine who's going to come and visit our church all the way from Florida. He's going to minister to us. We're going to have like a mini revival, mini refresher for our church. So he's going to be ministering to us that Sunday, which is going to be on the 25th, or Wednesday night on the 28th, solo winning on that 29th, special solo winning, and then Friday night, Friday he goes back. I'm going to take him back to, Saturday. I'm going to take him back to the LAX on the 1st of October. So he'll minister to us those days that he'll be with us just to refresh your spirit. Give us some of that word of God. He is a good teacher of the word of God. Brother Ed Worth coming all the way from my Bible school out there in DeLand, Florida. So that's kind of our big event we're waiting for. However, I just want to remind you guys, in love, the City of Oceanside has once again asked for prayer from Brother Carlos. Amen. Praise the Lord. So if you are able to church, to show some love to the brother here on the 14th of September, the city invocation down there at the City Hall. Y'all have already been there. On the 14th is when I'm going to open up the city in prayer. So just like we did last time, just show some love. Hopefully pass out some tracks. Once again, that'll be a blessing. And then pray it up. Show some love. Come back here for our Bible study that evening. And if we have to leave a hair bit early just to get back here on time, that's okay. At least we'll just show a little bit of love. And if some of you have to leave after the fact, hey, that's cool. At least you just showed some love. I sure would appreciate that. So prayer. However, on I think it's the 17th and 18th, I'm not exactly sure. I will get back to you. I am going to research again the day and the time for the soul winning outreach, but we want to plan a day because what's going to happen is the City of Oceanside is going to have Harbor Days. Some of you guys have heard of that. And essentially down there in the harbor, they're going to have vendors, just like the Thursday market, a ton of people. It's like a gnarly event that the City of Oceanside does. We want to be there. We want to be there to soul win. And so once I find out the day, if you will, of that Harbor Day, if it's on a Saturday, I want to encourage all of our church members to come here. We're going to prepare ourselves with getting our gospel tracts, and we're going to get some scripture signs. We have plenty of them. We want to be down there. We want to post up as the light. We want to pass out tracts. That's all. So that Saturday, when I find out what it is for the Harbor Day, we're just going to dedicate that soul winning for that day because it's going to be an event down here in Oceanside that's coming up. And then I'm not sure of the Day of the Dead, but when we do order more of our door tracks, we're going to order some of these special tracks that Brother Arturo Munoz from Mexico, he texted me the Day of the Dead tracks they used when the Mexicanos go down there and celebrate their superstition, if you will. And we also want to do that. So church, there's a lot of heart that I got. There's a lot of vision I have, but once again, I can't do it alone. So I need my family. Let's go out there. Let's soul win. So I'll keep you guys updated as we go along. Amen. You guys already know about ministry opportunities. We had an amazing time soul winning last night. I told my wife last night when we started our very new neighborhood, we are now down there by the Mosin gas station. Some of you guys know right here on Mission, you just go down, you make a right. All that street, guys, we did yesterday. I said, Katie, I have my heart. I feel like I'm going to run into somebody I know. And little do we know, as we're door knocking, there was an old student of mine. And he was coming out there, you know, big old dude now, got, you know, tattoos all over the place. Hey, Mr. Carlos. I was like, hey, young man, how you doing today? And it was a blessing. We were able to minister the gospel to him. Amen. Wow, it was powerful. We were able to talk to neighbors out there. We had a great time door knocking. And then, of course, our Saturday soul win. Once we were done, we went to the pier. And it was just a blessing. We were sowing a lot of seeds, a lot of people we spoke with. So as again, we're just trusting God for the increase. But I just want to say thank God for my wife, because when I engage with some man contending for the faith, when he has questions about the Bible, she remains faithful in handing out tracts. And so guys, I'm telling you, there's nothing more powerful than a husband and wife serving the Lord together. And for those of you who are married and or single, you guys have the opportunity. Just like we learned last Wednesday, you just got to stir yourself up and let the Lord take care of the rest. Amen. So please join us, church, when you can. Soul winning. That should be a blessing. Live stream links, you guys already know. Please subscribe, share, like. Prayer, most important announcement. Please, if you want to submit a prayer request, just right there, go ahead and submit it online. We want to be in prayer with you and prayer for you. And if you do put a prayer request online, all the Christians that love Jesus all around the earth that literally click on our website, my wife and I saw last time, we have over 6,000 views from our last time we reset it. people can be in prayer with you and in prayer for you. So please submit a prayer request. And then last but not least, church, if you are, I hope you are a member of this church, please remain faithful in your financial giving. Whatever you purpose on your heart between you and God, just say, Lord, here it is with a good heart. You have a box back there. You have PayPal online. Help us take care of the church. And comment, brother. Okay, so let's go back there. Thank you, Brother Joe. Let me go back here to the calendar. September 17th and 18th. Okay, perfect. So how about this? We can skip out on the soul winning. Oh, I'm sorry, September. Yeah, September. Let's start. Yes, Saturday. Okay, so let's be in prayer for now on the 17th. So we're like I say, we won't do door knocking, won't do our appear. We'll just dedicate time because it's going to be pretty much an all-day thing on those 2 days. And let's just go and show the love, shine the light. We're going to go out with our tracks, our scripture signs. I've never done it before. I've never been there before. So there's a first for everything, all of us together, amen. But I'm assuming, guys, obviously on the sidewalk, we have freedom. We're not going to get in the way of the vendors. We're just going to be kind with smiles on our face. Jesus loves you. Jesus saves, handing out tracks. And then I'm going to let the city know on that prayer night, Brother Carlos going to be down there with his church, amen. No, I'm just kidding, but we'll let him know, amen. Thank you, brother. So, yeah, praise the Lord. We can do it on the 17th. Amen. All right. With that said, I hope you guys' week has been going good. We've been praying for you, everybody by name. It sure is good to see you. Would you do me a favor now, church? And let's go ahead and turn together now in our Bibles to the book of Galatians, chapter number 1. Galatians, chapter 1. It's a blessing to see those of you who are able to make it here tonight, and I hope that the Word of God will continue to minister to you just as much as it ministers to me. Every day I get in this book, and I never cease to be amazed at how much I learn from the Word of God as I allow it to teach me. And the reason why I say I allow it to teach me, today, friend, we're going to show you that God wants to teach you. But if you don't want to be taught by Him, then no wonder why you don't grow in your faith, and no wonder why your heart isn't becoming large when you run the way of His commandments to do the things that He's commanding you to do. Today, as we continue our verse-by-verse study through the book of Galatians, we are going to talk about the true gospel. We are going to talk about the expectations of the gospel. And in the end of the day, all I want you to do as a personal admonition, as a personal judgment of self, not pastor examining your life, not going through your phone, not seeing what you've been watching online, no. Just you and God tonight, just ask yourself, where have I been on this part of the gospel? And I'm going to explain that to you throughout our sermon. So as we go through these things, again, church, just let the Bible work in you. It's a double-edged sword. Let it get in there. Let it cut off some of the worldly fat, amen. Let it cut off some of the worldly little, if you will, ticks and things of that nature. I'm just using analogies. And let the Word of God build you up. Let it restore you in parts of your life as it begins to work its way in there. And I guarantee you, by the authority of the book, you're going to be blessed. You're going to continue to grow in your faith. You're going to continue to grow in the understanding and the knowledge that He wants you to have. And so today, friend, let's continue in our verse-by-verse study through the book of Galatians chapter 1. Today's message, I've titled, The Gospel of Deliverance. The Gospel of Deliverance. Let's read together once again in our verse-by-verse Galatians chapter 1. Follow along with me in your Holy Bible. I hope you bring your own Bible. It's going to work out your spiritual muscles, amen. Verse 1, the Bible says, Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by men, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised Him from the dead. And all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia, grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for our sins, that He might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from Him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another. But there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you, and then that ye have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, read these last words with me, church, I should not be the servant of Christ. Pray with me once again. Father, once again, we come before your throne of grace. Lord, I am so unworthy to be here standing before these souls today, God, for whom you care so much about that you were willing to lay down your life, God. As I continue to study my Bible and learn and grow in understanding, God, I am just so thankful, God, that you're willing to do that for me. God, I'm thankful that the gospel isn't only that Christ died for our sins, but that you came to deliver us from those sins so we don't continue to live after those sins. God, you've been so good to me, Lord. You brought me from a lot and you've delivered me from a lot. And today, I pray that you will continue to teach us as the church and as your children your will and your desire for our life. That not only did you want to take care of the legal problem of sin between us and your Father, but that, Lord, you want to take care of sinful living daily within our lives. So, God, we want to surrender this time to you now. Please fill me with your Holy Spirit. Forgive me of any sin or sins which I've committed against you this morning, and help me to be a vessel of honor to minister the word. And today, God, I pray the Spirit of God would work on every member's heart today that is hearing to my voice, that you would help them once again to concentrate, to focus. Let them not be distracted, God, with anything else, so they can receive what you have for them from the word of God. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. A little challenging, if you will, a little straightforward concerning the warning that God is giving the Christians throughout the churches scattered in Galatia. Let me go ahead and show you here on the screen, church, where Galatia is, and that way you guys can get some visual understanding as to the things that we are discussing here. Here on the map, Galatia is in a general region that we call Asia Minor. Hope you guys can see that there. And here, Asia Minor, just kind of briefly faint. I know you guys can't really see it, but here we have Galatia in this general region. We know that the Apostle Paul has traveled through those regions. And then once there was a body of believers established and they began to assemble wherever they did throughout this region, this letter is being written to various churches that are scattered all throughout this region that you guys see here in this place called Galatia. That's just a general reference. But allow me to remind you, church, of the theme of the book of Galatians. The Holy Spirit, through Paul, is not writing to Christians on how to get saved, but rather how to live a righteous life. Unlike all of Paul's other epistles, this epistle is written to the Christians throughout the region. It's not written to a particular church like Corinth or Ephesus, etc. It's very possible that unbelieving Jews assembled amongst the church assemblies, much like many unbelievers today who go to church. They do everything religiously on the outside, but inwardly they're still lost on the inside. This epistle confronts the religious person who believes or thinks that if they continue to observe Old Testament laws, commandment keeping, that could make them righteous before God. Again, much like many religious people do today. If they think that their works can make them righteous before God, if they think their efforts can make them righteous before God, going to church and everything else make them right before God, they're foolish. But God expresses and he exposes that lie by reaffirming to both the Jew and Gentile alike that righteousness never came by the works of the Old Testament prior to Christ's death on the cross, nor will it after. The gospel isn't, friend, how that Christ died for our sins, was buried, and rose again the third day, so that those who believe and are baptized should be saved, or those who believe and are circumcised, or those who believe and observe the Jewish holy days, etc. No, no, no. All that is religious. That's a religious gospel. The Bible says that those who believe, such of those who preach those gospels, teach nonsense. And as we saw in verses 8 through 9, as you can see, church, this is not a Baptist distinctive. This is a Bible distinctive when God calls those churches accursed. Those religions accursed because of what they preach or teach concerning the gospel. Now, go ahead and look up to the screen for a second. I want to remind you of a study blog that I have just produced the other day. And this was one of my most, if you will, intense, quote-unquote, online tracks that I've made, because what it does is it exposes some of the errors in some of these religious groups. And I'm going to name a few of them for you as I read over this track. But I want you to see before you begin to question and before you begin to doubt in your mind, what are we referring to? We are referring to the gospel. So look at it here. beware of false gospels. And that is exactly what Galatians chapter 1 is warning us about. Any religion or cult or sect or group of people or pastors or teachers who preach and teach that your works plus faith in Jesus Christ is how you can be saved, according to the Bible, is accursed. Water baptism plus faith in Jesus does not save you. Church membership does not save you. Confessing your sins to a priest does not save you. Speaking in tongues does not save you. The Bible says that we are saved by grace through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. A couple of these organizations that you need to be watchful for: the Jehovah's Witness, the World Mission Society Church of God, the Seventh-day Adventists, the Roman Catholic, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, the Mormons, and when Brother Joe and I encountered this one fellow, the Apostolic Assembly of Churches. You say, why, Pastor? Because they are teaching a gospel that says a man needs to do something plus faith in Jesus Christ in order to be saved. But that's not what Galatians reminds Christians. Galatians reminds Christians that we are saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. And therefore, if any other man, or even an angel, or if Paul, look at what he said in verse 8, if he by the end of his life began to teach that, yes, you know what, as a matter of fact, guys, you know, men need to circumcise themselves, or, you know what, guys, we still need to observe the Sabbath, or we still need to do this in order to be righteous before God, you know what Paul warned you? Don't listen to me. Don't listen to an angel. So there goes the angel of Moroni for the Mormon. There goes the angel that appeared to Juan Diego for the Virgin de Guadalupe. There goes the angel or the supposed spirit that spoke to Ellen G. White for the Seventh-day Adventists, Charles Taze Russell for the Jehovah's Witnesses, all these religious groups who claim additional revelation from the book. You know what God said 2,000 years ago? They are accursed. So tonight, that's what we're discussing. We are here to discuss the true gospel. We need to establish ourselves now on what the gospel is and what it's not, in order for you, my friend, not to be bewitched, not to be fooled. And that's what we are going to learn about today. So now, let's go ahead and build some context again. Turn your Bible with me now to the book of Luke, chapter 24. And then, with your second hand, go to John, chapter 20. And then, with your third hand, go to Acts 13. Luke 24, John 20, and Acts 13. The first of these, brothers, Luke 24, we're going to go down here to verse number 33. We're just going to remind you of some context. Because what you want to do, friend, is you want to listen to what a preacher preaches and confirm it with the Bible. If a church is not showing you scripture, and they're just going to say, believe whatever the pastor says because he's the man of God, that is a messed up church. And if they teach you that, you cannot question the teaching, that is a messed up church. Anybody here knows that they can talk to Brother Carlos and say, hey, what do you think about that? What do you say about this? Some of you are amazing students out there that question. I'm going to say, oh, you're right here in this verse, in this verse, in this verse, because we are building our church upon the foundation, which is the Word of God. Now, Luke 24, verse 33. Let me build you some context. Who are gathered in this particular part of Scripture that I want to show you? Look at 33. The 11. Those are the remaining disciples after Christ rose from the dead. So, who was the 12th? Judas. We know what he did, all right? You know. All right, now go down with me now to verse number 44. After he rose, he confirmed, if you will, the gospel that we know now. He gave them the understanding from the Old Testament that they've always had. But what he did now, church, is he opened up their minds to understand what was already there throughout their entire time. Look at here in verse 44. He said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses. So there's the first five books, the prophets, the major and the minor, the Psalms concerning me. All three divisions of the Old Testament, Jesus said, look, guys, while I was teaching you for 3 years, you know, the gospel, and I'm going to die, I'm going to be crucified, I'm going to rise from the dead, that's what I'm talking about. I am fulfilling it, and I'm showing you now, look, right here. Look at verse 45. Then open he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. And he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer, to rise from the dead the third day. Now watch this. and that repentance and remissions of sins should be preached in his name with water baptism among all nations. Wait, I added that, didn't I? Let me read that again. Remission of sins should be preached in his name plus church membership. That's not what it says. In his name, among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. So according to Jesus, who's God manifest in the flesh, he told these disciples, everything that I was teaching you guys for 3.5 years, you always had it. The Old Testament contained what I was going to do. Look, it's written right here and here and here. What did he do? He opened up their understanding to believe this is what God prophesied, that Christ would suffer, that he would be crucified for the sins of the world, and that by faith in his name is what is going to remit sins. Faith in his name. Okay, go to John 20 now with your second hand, John 20. All the way down to the end of the chapter, John 20, 30 through 31. Once again, we're reading in the context of the disciples after he rose from the dead. And here we have the Apostle John writing after the fact, obviously. Look at what he said in verse 30. Many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. Me and Brother Joe were talking about signs the other day, and so there's a lot of things he did, right, to confirm who he is and everything else, right? But look at verse 31. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Now say it with me, church. And that believing you might have life through his name. Does it say his name plus water baptism, church membership, speaking in tongues, giving your money, Old Testament sacrifices, Old Testament commandments, circumcision for men? No. Faith alone in the name of the Son of God is how you will receive everlasting life. So then, what's the theme of Galatians? He is reminding these Christians who are being fooled, who are being bewitched because they had some false preachers go into their churches and they were beginning to spread their secret papers and their secret teachings and their secret teachers and saying, hey guys, you know, Jesus, he's not sufficient. You still need to fill in the blank, circumcision. You still need to observe a holy day. You still need to act like a Jew and you still need to do this. The Lord said that's foolish. That's foolish. So what did I show you? Luke 24, Christ gave the immediate disciples the understanding of the gospel from the Old Testament. Number two, John 20, the apostle John affirmed faith, believing in his name, is how sinners get everlasting life. One more with your third hand, Acts 13. Acts 13. Context again for the brethren. I always want to show you what's going on, who's speaking. The Bible says in verse 16, then Paul stood up and began to preach, if you will, to the Hebrews and Gentiles in the synagogue. Go down with me now, church, all the way here to verse 32 in Acts 13. Bible says, and we declare unto you glad tidings, how that the promise which was made unto the fathers, remember, we know who they are, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, remember that? God hath fulfilled the same unto us, their children, in that he hath raised up Jesus again, as it is also written in the second Psalm, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. You know what Paul just did? He went to the book of Psalms. He opened up the Old Testament, and he is telling these Jews and these Gentiles, this is what God Almighty promised, that Jesus Christ would come into this world to die for the sins of the world. Here's what God said that he would do that right here in Psalm. Right here, there's the promise right here in the Old Testament. Guys, Paul is not quoting Ephesians chapter 3. He's not quoting Romans chapter 1. He's quoting what, church? The Old Testament. Why? Because the gospel was there, but Christ gave them the understanding. Are you following along now? Now let's go down here to 37. Paul continues, but he, talking about Jesus, whom God raised again, saw no corruption. Now listen, be it known unto you therefore. Now who was he talking to? I showed you earlier, verse 16, the Jews, men of Israel, the Gentiles, those are proselytes. Be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you what? The forgiveness of sins. Paul did not say Jesus plus getting circumcised. Paul did not say Jesus plus water baptism. Paul did not say Jesus plus and fill in the blank. No, he said, through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him, now watch this, all that believe, that's faith, are what? Justified from all things from which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses. So people start off with the right gospel. They told them about Jesus Christ. They told them that if you want to be saved from the wrath of God and sins, you have to trust this man of Nazareth, this man who was approved of God by the signs and wonders and miracles. And God confirmed it because he raised this man from the dead, and this man that we believe to be the Messiah. So when they went to go preach to those Jews in Galatia, they showed them what, church? The Old Testament scriptures. And they confirmed it unto them. And so they believe. And they hear Paul preaching. And Paul makes it very clear. Circumcision is not going to make you righteous before God. Offering this offering on that holy day is not going to make you righteous before God. As a matter of fact, he'll go even further and say, by the blood of bulls and goats, they can never take away sin. But this man, the man whom God prophesied in their Old Testament, this man is the one whom God said, faith in his name is what is going to remit the sins of the world. And so they believe that. Justification, righteousness, the Holy Spirit reminds all Christians through Galatia, is solely available through the person of Jesus Christ. So, why is Galatians written for us? It's written, now listen, to warn us of spiritual perverts who seek to lure Christians back under bondage to observe Old Testament traditions in order for them to perfect or to grow or to mature their righteousness before the Lord. Let's go now back to Galatians chapter 3. Turn your Bible now back to our base text, Galatians 3. By the way, brother, I hope you still have your bookmarker. Sister, I hope you guys have your bookmarker so that way you can stay on track with where we're going. Just put it right there. Our base text is Galatians. Amen. So turn back now to Galatians chapter 3. Once again, another theme for the book of Galatians is to warn Christians of spiritual perverts who seek to lure them back under the bondage to observe Old Testament law or traditions in order to perfect their righteousness before the Lord. He said what? Accursed in chapter 1. Look at verse 1, Galatians 3. O foolish Galatians. You say, brother, is it okay to call a Christian a fool if they continue to listen to false doctrine? If they continue to give in to a false teacher? If they continue to live in a manner that is against the gospel? Yeah, that's right. I'm going to call you a fool, brother. Sister, you've been foolish if you haven't been walking uprightly according to this book. Amen. Now watch this. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you? This only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Were you born again because you got circumcised? Were you born again because you offered up a sacrifice that the Old Testament law required for a specific thing? Or were you born again by faith when you trusted the gospel? Verse 3, are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, or listen now, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? What does he say, church? God said these Christians were beguiled by witchcraft. Why? Because some false preachers or teachers entered into the churches, and the overseers, perhaps the elders or the pastors, lacked study and understanding on these doctrines, permitted those teachers to enter in their churches, who caused division and perverted the hearts and the minds of the Christian members. Let me give you a quick nugget, church. I hope you're listening now. Let your pastor protect you today. Let your pastor protect you today, friend, to seek his counsel and guidance on who you should or shouldn't be listening to online, secretly, reading books by other supposed pastors of the book. Because what they can do, church, is they can affect your mind on what you're being taught here by what other teachers are teaching out there. And what that could do is it could lead you astray by their doctrinal faults. You say, really, Brother Carlos, can you give me an example of Christians following another Christian who's a pastor and that could lead them to make a mistake? Go back to Galatians 2 real quick. Watch this. I'm not going to tell you anything that's not true with the book. Look at here quickly, Galatians 2, verse 11. How many of you guys remember Peter? He was an apostle. He was a man of God. This man wrote some scripture. This man walked with Christ. If anybody who is qualified to represent the living God, it sure would be Peter because he was ordained by Jesus. But if Peter began to do something contrary to the truth, you do not follow Peter, you follow the truth. Watch. When Peter was come to Antioch, Paul said, I withstood him to the face because he was to be blamed. For certain that came before from James, before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, watch this now, fearing them which were of the circumcision. You know how they can affect you too, Christian? Watch this now. And the other Jews dissembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. You know what Peter was not doing? Look at verse 14. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel. That's why I warn you as your pastor here, be careful who you listen to. Be careful who you watch. Be careful what you read. Because even though they have a authority or a title, if they do something contrary to the truth and you start following their example, not walking uprightly to the truth, you're going to be led astray. You're going to be led in doctrinal error. And that's why I warn you in love. Talk to me. Let me know. I'll tell you. I'll look them up. I'll search them out. I'll say, this is good here. That's not good there. Be careful with that. Because I love you. And it is my responsibility to watch over your soul, church. So just be careful. That was a free nugget. Amen. What is the true gospel then? Let's go back to Galatians chapter 1. Let's talk about this. It's very important to establish then what the gospel is. What do we believe about the gospel? And has the gospel had its full effect within your life? Many of you here today, praise God, you are Christian now. You've been born again because somebody said, friend, here's what you need to do. You need to ask Jesus to save you because explain to you the gospel. But there's a second part to that gospel, friend. And today, that's what we're going to stress and talk about here today. Go back with me now to Galatians 1. With your second hand, turn your Bible to 1 Corinthians 15. And then with your third hand, go to Ephesians chapter 2. Galatians 1, 1 Corinthians 15, and then with your third hand, Ephesians 2. All right, now let's read together, church. Here, Galatians 1, verse number 4. The Bible says, talking about Jesus Christ in verse 3, who gave himself for our what? Sins. We believe that. We know that the gospel is how that Christ died for our sins. So he gave himself for our sins. But what's the second half of the gospel? That he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. So what's the gospel, brother? Yes, Christ died for our sins. Yes, he was buried. Yes, he rose again from the third day. But when you believe that, you know what the gospel is for you now personally? It's Jesus delivering you from this present evil world. But salvation has always been by grace through faith, and you can read that in Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. So it doesn't just stop there, Christian. It doesn't just stop right here with what he says in 1 Corinthians 15, I hope you're there. Look at verse number 3 and 4. We know what the gospel is. The Bible says in verse 3, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. But again, Galatians 1, hope you have your Bible, your base text. What did it tell us in verse 4? That he might deliver us from this present evil world. So today, for those of you that are sitting here in church or hearing online, you might have believed the gospel, the first half, the first part of what its desire is to be completed within your life. You might have received the legal forgiveness of your sins through the blood. You know you're saved when you trust Christ. You know you're saved when you trust his blood. You know you're saved when you trust him. We know that. But my second question now, listen. Have you been delivered from your sins? Have you been delivered from your sinful living? You might believe, but are you walking uprightly now to the truth of the gospel? Let's break this down now. Look at Galatians 1:4 again, church. That he might deliver us from what? This present evil world. Let's go ahead and remind ourselves now of what this present evil world is. The first place I want you to turn your Bible now, let's go to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John 2. Hope you have your Bible open, church. You got to follow along now. Let's work out those spiritual muscles. 1 John chapter 2. Let's read together now in verse number 15. This is what it means now when the Bible says the world. And this is the will of God, the Father, for your life now as his daughter or his son, if you're a Christian here today. This is what he wants to deliver you from. Look at 1 John 2:15. The Bible says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, now listen, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. So he's not talking about your children. He's not talking about your family. He's talking about the things of the world. They're right in here. Your lusts, your affections, those things within you that Daddy Adam passed upon you when he first disobeyed God, that sin nature that was passed upon you when you were born, that desire that you always had within you when you were a little kid to disobey your parent, to want to lie, to want to steal in secret, as you got older, to want to try out a drug, to want to have sex out of marriage, to want to listen to profanity, all those things of this world, what did the Bible say? Christ gave himself for our sins, but it's in the will of the Father that he might deliver you from what? This present evil world. So are you allowing now the gospel to have its full effect within your life to deliver you from what? That present evil world. Next, let's go to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Hope you're following along now. We are just letting the Bible define for us the terms, church, so that way you're not confused. Brother Carlos, what is the world and how do I be delivered or what are some things that I should start working on? I'm letting Jesus teach you now, you see? Colossians 3, look at verse number 1 with me, church. How many of you guys are born again? How many of you guys have trusted Christ as Savior? Okay. If then, watch this. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. What are some of those things on the earth? Well, John told us in 1 John 2, lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, pride. But now the Spirit will give you a little bit further definition of those things he doesn't want you to set your affection on anymore that are part of this world. Go down now a little bit, church. Verse 5. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. Now listen. Fornication. Sex out of marriage, uncleanness. Anybody here still watching pornography? Anybody here still watching people naked on that movie? Anybody here still listening to profanity on the music or in those videos? Anything that is unclean? What about inordinate affection? That is without natural affection. Practicing homosexuality, those things without natural affection to your fellow man? What about evil concupiscence? What about covetousness? What about idolatry? Those are some of the things that Christ wants to deliver you from. Are you with me now? Next, let's go to Galatians 5. Galatians chapter 5. This is very important for you to understand now, church. The gospel. It wasn't only limited to the legal payment required for you to receive the forgiveness of your sins. So when they led you to Christ, remember that? When you said, Jesus, come into my heart, I'm glad that you took care of your legal position before God. But what's the second half, and what's the will of the Father? It's to deliver you from what? Those things. It's to deliver you from this present evil world that you're living in. It's to deliver you from and they that are Christ's, who's a Christian now, okay? Now listen, they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. He's not talking about your physical body. He's not talking about your thumb, your ear, your eye, your foot. But there's a body of sin inside of your physical body, that part of you that was crucified. So now what you're telling me, brother, is when I sin against God and I sin against fellow man, I am choosing to take that old body that's crucified and I'm resurrecting up some old spiritual corpse to fulfill the lust of the flesh. That is absolutely right. You've been free, believer. But when you continue in that life from what he wants to deliver you from, you are trying to take a dead man back. You want to hang out with a dead woman. And you want to fulfill the things that dead person wants to do, that's what you're doing. Every time you sin against God, and every time I sin against God. So now, before you give in to the thought, now, brother, sister, listen now, this is very important. Before you say, I'm struggling, before you start giving me your explanation of why and you fill in the blank, I am here to remind you of the power that you have right now, brother, sister. You don't have to be a pastor. You just have to be saved. The Bible says that you were crucified with Christ, with your affections and lusts. You have the power now to say no. You have the power now to resist. You have the power now to refrain. But are you letting him help you? Are you letting the Holy Spirit teach you? One more. Titus chapter 2. Turn your Bible now with me to Titus chapter 2. I hope this is beginning to sink in now, church, because now this is the freedom that you're looking for from sin and within your life. It's loving God and letting God remind you of the power that you have and then putting that thing into practice. Letting God's faith in you, the Son of God, operate through you to deliver you from you. To deliver you from the things your old man wants to do. Now follow along now. Titus chapter 2, verse number 11. The Bible says here, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. We believe that. We know Christ died. We know he was buried. We know he rose again. We know he sent out all them that he filled with the Spirit in Acts chapter 2, and they began to preach. We know that everybody has heard and has an understanding now. This is what God has provided for mankind, salvation through his Son, Jesus Christ. But look at verse 11. The grace of God. Okay? Now follow along. Verse 12. Teaching us that, denying what, church? Ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly. Oh, what do you see again? In this present world. Wow! Isn't that a blessing? The world, we already saw it, consist of those things, the lust of the flesh, the lust of pride, and the affections, and such the like. The gospel promised you everlasting life by faith. In return, grace provided you power over the world in your being, over the affections, and over the lust that's within you. Brother and sister, this is what biblical grace provides all Christians. The grace of God isn't just an attribute of God's character, or personality trait that moved him to extend mercy unto you by sending his only begotten Son. But biblical grace now is that resurrection power, Romans 8:11, that teaches sinners how to what? Deny, to resist, to refrain from continuing to live in it. Look up again, Titus chapter 2:11. the grace of God that bringeth salvation. So we know that. What is the gospel? Christ died for our sins. We know that. But what's the completion of the effect that the gospel should have? It teaches me now. Look at verse 12. The grace of God teaches me that I should deny wanting to fornicate anymore. That I should deny wanting to watch things that are unclean. That I should deny wanting to do any wicked thing. That I should deny wanting to be covetous, malicious, envious, evil, whisperers, backbiters, proud, boastful, disobedient, unmerciful, drunken, liars. You fill in the blank. The grace of God is wanting to teach you today, but Christian, are you being taught? Are you letting the grace of God teach you today, believer? Listen, Christian friend. Rules, regulations, your works, it is not going to deliver you from that thing on the inside. You can set up boundaries, brother and sister. You can set up a passcode over your phone so you, that way you don't be tempted to watch a thing you shouldn't. You can call a brother and say, brother and sister, I'm about to, and you can do everything you can on the outside. But friend, if you don't let the grace of God teach you on the inside, you are not going to be delivered from that thing of the present evil world that you're fighting. What's going to help you to deliver you from that present evil world, friend, is your personal relationship with Jesus Christ, your love for him, his love for you. And when you mature and when you grow in that love and you begin to realize, because the Bible is beginning to give you more understanding and the milk of God's word is helping you to grow and you're drinking from his mouth, you're drinking from the water that he wants to give you to drink, if you will. You're receiving teachings from him personally. That is what's going to help you to not want to do those things anymore. There's only one man who has the grace to deliver you today. His name is Jesus Christ. Can I get an amen? You say, Pastor, how can I be delivered today? Some of you today, you may be battling a thing. You may be struggling with a present evil world that's in you right now. Let me remind you now. Let me feed you. Let me protect you. Let me watch over your soul to tell you how you can be delivered. Are you with me now? Who wants to be delivered from this present evil world? Anybody out there? Okay. Look at John 14. Let's go there. And then we're almost going to close. We'll come back to our base text. John chapter 14. This church is the key. It may sound a little silly. It may sound not as as some of those people that you may be watching online. But this is Jesus. This is your Savior. This is your Redeemer. This is the lover of your soul. This is the one who gave himself for you, not your husband, not your wife, not your children, Jesus. Look at John 14. Look at verse 15 with me, believer. Bible says, if ye love me, are you ready? Keep my commandments. There it is. Do you love him? Do you love him enough to do what he wants you to do? If so, he'll deliver you from that thing. But when you love that thing more than him, don't be surprised why you're not delivered from that thing. Look at verse 21. He that hath my commandments, who has a Bible today? Anybody have a Bible? And keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. You know who wants to help you? You know who wants to deliver you? Jesus. You know who wants to show himself real in your life so you can have the victory over that thing of the world? Jesus. But you know what your problem is? You have his commandments, but you don't love him enough to keep his commandments. You don't care about him enough to keep his commandments. That's very sad. Is he going to stop loving you? No, he won't, because he's a good God. But while you could have the victory over your sin now, friend, so it doesn't take you 5 years later, 10 years later, he could help you now. He promised, I'll show myself to you. I'll reveal myself to you. Would you just let me? But would you just love me is what he's saying. Look at verse 23 to 24. If a man love me, he will keep my words. Three times now, it's real clear. My Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Look at verse 24. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. He knows who of us today truly loves him. You see, friend, you can fool me all day long. You can come to church. You can dress the part. You can go soul winning. You can act the part. But ultimately, deep down in your heart, there's only one man who can look in there. Jesus. He's the one that can say, son, I know you're loving me. Son, I know you're trying your best to get over that thing because you got my commandments. You're listening to my commandments. You're growing in the understanding of my commandments. But you know what, daughter? You still don't love me enough because I see deep down you want that thing, and I want to show myself to you. I want to heal you from that thing. I want to deliver you from that thing. But why don't you just love me more than that thing? Friend, he can do that for you. That's what he promised right there. You don't need what the Pentecostals teach, a breakthrough from God. You don't need any one of us to lay our hands upon you, pray for you, anoint you with WD-40 and everything else. You don't need the little, you know, cross sign over you. No. You know what you need? You need to just love him. You need to draw near to him. You need a fellowship with him. You need to show him, God, I'm sorry for this thing. I don't want to do this anymore. I want to love you. I know it's not satisfying, Jesus, but would you please help me? And when you do that, church, when you draw near to God, you know what he said? He will draw near to you, and then the deliverance from that thing of the world, you'll be delivered from. Anybody here? That's our problem. That's the answer, Christian friend. It all comes back down to one thing and one question. Do I love him? Do I love him enough to say no to sin? Do I love him enough to say no to the devil? Do I love him enough to say no to the flesh? Do I truly love Jesus? The reason you've been carnal, brother, sister, for those of you who are hearing me online, for those of you who have been wavering, perhaps been half-hearted, it's because you don't love him enough. It's not because you don't know enough of the Bible. It's just because you don't have a lot of heart for him. Perhaps there's still an affection. Perhaps there's still a lust. Now listen, perhaps there's still something or someone deep down in your heart that's stealing you from the one who gave himself for you. But what is that thing? Now, we're not a Catholic church. You don't have to confess your sin to me. Amen to that. I got my own things. Amen. Don't worry about it. But the one who loves you, the one who gave himself for you, he's waiting for you to confess to him. You know what Jesus said? Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. For Christian, what is or who is bewitching you today? Who or what is perverting you from the gospel, making you think that if you just stop this and do that and start creating a list, you know, like a checklist of works, like if I start doing this and doing that, then I'll have the victory. No, that's foolish. You want the answer? It's love. It's love, God, loving God. And when you begin to grow in a greater love for what he has done for you personally, friend, that is what's going to help you to have the victory. As we're coming to a close, let me give you our closing scriptures now. Romans chapter 13. Romans 13. Bible's good, amen? Anybody out there? All right now. Church, that's what changed my life many years ago. I kept falling. I got up again. Why? Because I recognize he did that for me. I fell again. I got up again and I said, wow, God, you haven't left me nor forsaken me. Once I fell to my last failure, I said, man, God, you don't deserve this anymore. I'm so sorry that I've been sinning against you like this. You've been so good to me, Jesus. How can I continue to do this against you, Lord? I don't want to love this more than you, Lord. I want to love you more than this thing. Brother Carlos, clean, sober now. How many years moving forward? Church, that's what he's waiting for. Look at Romans 13:10. Bible says here, love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Why? Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. You know why I don't have to worry about my wife committing adultery against me whenever we separate our ways from going to work? You know why she doesn't have to worry about me committing adultery against her when I go to work and we don't see each other for a season? It's because I love her. I've grown and matured to the point where I don't need the law to threaten me by the consequence of what's going to take place, because the law is keeping me fearful from the consequence. But deep down in here, there's still the desire. You know what love does, though? When you gain that love for Jesus enough to the point where you say, man, God, how can I do that against her? How can I do that against you, God? When you get to the point, Christian, when you just say, Jesus, I love you so much that I wouldn't want to do this anymore. I don't want to do that anymore. You know what the book said? That's the fulfillment of the law, where you're not governed by rules and regulations and expectations and commandments. You are governed by love, because you love him too much to want to do wrong. Are you with me now? That's why we don't have to worry. I love her. I don't want to do those things against her. She loves me. She doesn't want to do those things against me. So friend, you know what you're battling with? It's your love for him. And then you can begin to throw it out and begin to put an application for everything else that you got going on in life. Two more places, Galatians 5 and then 1 Corinthians 14. Let's go to Galatians 5. Look at verse number 6. The Bible says here, well, let's read verse 5. For we, through the Spirit, wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. So again, righteousness from God only comes by faith in Jesus Christ. It doesn't come by works, nothing else. But look at verse 6. For in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision. But watch this. You ready now? But faith which worketh by what? Love. Powerful. You see that? It doesn't say your understanding of the Bible, brother. It doesn't say how much you know, sister, of scriptures and how you can talk about this and that doctrine. It's your love for him. It's your love for him that's going to work it out. It's your faith working with that you're not going to want to do bad anymore. Mess up on God. Mess up on your church. It's your love that's going to make you want to do those things that God commanded you to do, where he's not forcing you by law, by regulations, by rules, but you just want to because you love him. Look at verse 14. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. You see there? One more, and we're going to come to a close. 1 Corinthians 16. 1 Corinthians, I'm sorry, chapter 14, I apologize. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse number 20. Some of you guys have children today, amen. Some of you are children, and some of you have taught children many, many years of your life and still are. I was a child. When we were kids, and I think it's safe to say for Sister Maribel, who's a mama, It's safe to say that the baby girl and baby boy, they don't know enough to take care of themselves, amen? They don't know how to cook for themselves. They don't know how to go to work to pay their taxes, to provide for themselves. They don't know that. Little Gibby, you don't know that yet. You don't know how to continue to take care of yourself as an independent man, if you will, and you're still a child in understanding things of life. Are you with me? That principle, that point. It's like that with us as Christians. When we get saved, the Bible calls us a babe in Christ. We are just brand new to the faith. We're brand spanking new. We just get saved. The Spirit of God just comes inside of us, and we don't really know much. But what we do know is Jesus and what he did for us and that love for him and everything else. We kind of have a basic. But there comes a time that God expects for you to mature and to grow from being a babe concerning understanding to becoming a man, to becoming an adult. Look at here real quick. 1 Corinthians 14, 20. Brethren, be not children in understanding. Howbeit in malice be ye children, but in understanding be men. You know what God said there? He wants you to act like a child when evil thoughts come in your heart and you just want to give it to him. He wants you to be like a kid who, you know, when children are playing out there in the dirt and being silly, playing with each other. You know how when they get angry, immediately they make it with each other because it's not a big deal to a kid, you know? They're playing with their friends out there. They mess around with each other's marbles and, oh, they get angry. But then they come right back and hang out again like kids because they're just a child in malice. They don't really understand and they don't really grow in bitterness. You know what God said? You need to be a child in that. But in understanding, he wants you to become a man. He wants you to become an adult. So I close with this. This, my family, is the true spiritual fruit, true Christian maturity, where we can grow to the level in our walk with God that you and I won't need to be treated like children by God, being constantly reminded by him to do what he's commanding you to do. God's will is for us to become men in understanding, where understanding says, I won't do that thing anymore. How can I? I love him too much to dishonor him, to disobey him. Oh, Christian, you know I'm waiting to see in some of you right now? I am waiting to see this level of maturity in your walk with the Lord, where I no longer have to constantly tell you or to remind you, brother, sister, come to church on time. Brother, sister, go sowing with us. Brother, sister, give up your finances to be faithful to the Lord. You know what I'm waiting to see within you, brother and sister? I'm waiting to see within you your understanding growing and your understanding maturing because of your love for him, where you're guided by that to just simply do what he's commanding you to do. That's the point. Galatians is not trying to tell you you're saved by your works or you're going to be maturing by your works. You're going to be maturing by your relationship with him. And what's going to help you to overcome sin? What's going to help you to get to that understanding, that growth in your level with the, in your level of walking with the Lord to just be mature enough to just do that? It's your love for him. So what I want to close with, some of you are so close to growing, but there's still that thing. You know what it is in you. You don't have to tell me. Just talk to him about it. That thing that you love more, whether it's a job, whether it's a family member, whether it's a secret sin, whatever that thing is, friend, I want you to consider how much more he's worthy of your heart. And when you're willing to say, Jesus, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for putting this ahead of you. It could even be you. You could be putting yourself ahead. Just say, Lord Jesus, I'm sorry. I want to grow in understanding like pastor's teaching. I want to grow to the point, God, where I don't have to be reminded like a child of what I need to do. I want to grow in my understanding, Lord, where I know what I need to do because I love you. Love, my friend, is what's going to help you to get there. Love for him. So, friend, you want to be on fire for Jesus? Love him. You want to grow in understanding? Then do what he's commanding you to do because of your love for him. That's why I do it. I come here every Sunday on time because I love him. I dedicate myself and my wife and I, not around the church, but around him because we love him. We soul win together because we love him. We give our finances because we love him. We fellowship with you guys. We minister with you guys. Some of you guys, they're not answering our phone calls, if you will, and we don't hear from them for a minute. Some of them leave, family members leave, but you know what? We don't stop. Why? Because we love him. Do you love him? Just answer that between yourself. Now, as we come to a close, church, we don't have an altar, but you have a heart. If you need to talk to God right now in prayer, would you do so as we pray together? Examine yourself, friend. And if the word of God ministered today, then just talk to Jesus. Let him know what's going on and ask him to help you with it. He loves you. Father in heaven, we come before your throne of grace. We thank you so much, God, for the truth we learned today, Lord. Some of this truth, my God, may be convicting for some. but that's a good thing because you love us. Some of this truth, God, may begin to expose certain areas within our lives that we're not really surrendered to you yet, but you did that because you love us. Lord, I'm so glad that you don't have no respect to persons like we learned in Sunday school. Just because I'm behind this pulpit, God, I'm not greater than Sister Maribel. I'm not greater than Brother Giovanni. I'm not greater than Sister Dina. No, God, we're all at the level playing field before your cross. You love us all dearly, God. But you want to deliver us from those things, God, that are hindering our walk with you, Lord. Lord Jesus, I don't know the present evil world that every member here is facing, fighting with, or entangled in. But God, I pray that they heard enough today, Lord, to know what you want to deliver them from and how they need to take care of it with you. So God, I hope our church is praying to you now. I hope they're confessing to you now. I hope they're asking your help even now as I'm praying for them as well, that they would begin, Lord, to be willing to love you more than those things. So Holy Spirit of God, please seal these things within our heart. Keep these things within our heart. Help us to be the one that love you, so that way we can see you show up in our life. We thank you now, in Jesus' name, amen. Church, as I say always, I love you dearly. I pray for you by name. I hope and pray you have a great rest of your day. If y'all want to fellowship, let's hang out. Guys, we have plenty of donuts. Please fellowship, and the Lord bless you.